Luke chapter 15, verse number 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father. I will and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose, came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said, I like that, don't you? I like that. Verse 20's got a but in it, that where the father butted in. Verse 20, amen. He had it all planned out what he was going to say, verse 18 and 19. And verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father, but when his was yet a great way off, his father saw it. So the father butted in. And then again in verse 22, He's confessing in verse 21, I've sinned against heaven and thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thyself. And he probably would have continued with that rehearsed thing that he had in verse 18 and 19 that he was going to say. But the father butted in. I like it when the father butts in. Amen. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us, including the father, and let us, including the family, and let us eat and be merry. Amen. I like that, don't you? Thank God. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you'll touch us today. Help us, Lord, in these moments together, that we'd be mindful, Lord, and have discernment of the Spirit of God and what you would have us to say, what you'd have us to deal with. Lord, I'm convinced, Lord, that you've given us a change of direction for this morning service. Lord, you know my heart, that what I'd studied for this morning, Lord, you changed that and told me to go back and pick up the prodigal son message that we'd been preaching on back in the month of July and have not preached on it since. Lord, there's a purpose for that. Lord, you have revived and refreshed this in my heart No doubt for someone that is here this morning, someone that will be hearing the other messages, if you would so lead us to do so. God, may we be hearers of the Word, recipients of the Word, act upon the Word today. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us. If you remember back, and I do feel that I do need to take a moment to refresh our memory, seeing that it's been so long since we've been in this passage of Scripture. But I want to talk about, and just by way of remembrance and refreshment, and if you're hearing for the first time, some of these things that we covered in the five messages that we've already preached from these passages, or from these verses. But we started out, if you remember, we started out by simply pointing out that the far country is a potential. Not a person in this building is exempt from any possibility of going to the far country. And the far country is just that. It's the country that is distant from the Father. It is that life that you live away from the Father. And of course, if you're lost, it applies to you. You are in a far country. You're away from God. Amen. And it will lead to your destruction. Without question, the young man in our text, if he had not took his condition personally, come to himself and said, I will return. I will go to my Father. I will get right with God. I will get saved. Had he not done that, Brother Silas, no question, he would have died in that place. Amen? If you're lost here today, without a doubt, you will die in your sin. You will die in that condition. Just as sure as you're sitting on that pew this morning, if you do not take your condition personally and do something about it. So the far country is a potential. The far country is personal. It's not a group thing. Though all are there, and a lot of people are there. I shouldn't have said all. A lot of people are there in the far country. That still don't mean you have to go. I'm talking about you that are saved. You don't have to get in the far country. Amen? Oh, yes, that's right. It's personal. Others may have an influence on you, but you will never go to the far country of sin unless you consent to it. The devil can't make you do nothing. The devil can tempt you and entice you. Amen? But he cannot force you to do anything. And then we pointed out as well, the far country is not only a potential and it is personal, but it is patterning. That is, you can look at this passage and see a pattern of steps of decline, steps that led him to where he was at. And if you follow those same steps, you will also wind up there as well. I wrote it down last night. The far country for one is a far country for all. You don't think this, well, I can handle it, preacher. It won't do that to me. It's done it to everybody before us. Sin has left its scars and its marks and its misery and its regret and its pain and agony. It's left it on the human race ever since Adam and Eve. You would be the first one to ever whip it. But no, friend, it is a pattern. The steps that led him out and down and away will be the same steps that would lead you out, down, and away. Did you know sin is very predictable? Sin is very predictable. Amen. I mean, you fool with it, you can read in the Bible and it'll tell you the outcome. You can tell the outcome. Amen. Here's something else we looked at. The far country is pricey, meaning that there's going to be a price to pay if you go to the far country. And watch this right here. I wrote this down last night. There is a high cost to low living. You choose to live away from God and sin against Bible knowledge and go against Bible principles, and you choose sin in your life, and you choose drugs and alcohol and fornication and immorality and all those kinds of things. Don't you think for a second, friend, that there's not going to be a payday? Now, if you get saved, you don't have to pay for that. Thank God Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Thank God He shed the blood. He paid the sin debt. You don't have to pay to get saved. Thank God whether you've got a dime to your name, it don't matter. The invitation is open to all people. Come ye without money. Amen. But now if you don't get saved, you'll have to pay. If you choose the path of sin, you'll have to pay. And this Bible, friend, is full of examples of people that chose transgression and sin and iniquity and how they had to pay. You know what one of them's testimony was, Brother Mark, that did that? My punishment is greater than I can bear. Chose what he thought was going to be the pleasurable choice. And you know who I'm talking about, don't you? Cain. When he had to pay for his choices, he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Have you ever been in something to where you said, I can't hardly stand it? Whatever it is, whether it's the heat of the sun, or you're so sick or whatever, you got to a point. You say, I cannot hardly stand this. Can you imagine living forever with that? And we know that Cain went to hell according to the Word of God and his own choices and testimony. And he not only stated that in this life, my punishment is greater than I can bear. But now he's still saying that as I speak, even today, in the flames of an eternal hell. My punishment is greater than I can bear. It is pricey. Listen to this right here. The path, everybody listening, Lord, give this to me last night. The path to the far country is a choice. But the paying of the high cost will not be a choice. Can everybody get that? I want everybody in here to hear that. Go into a far country, living a life of sin is a choice. But paying the high price that's associated with sin will not be a choice. You will not be asked to give it. It will take. And always know this, sin does not give, it takes. Sin does not bless, it burdens. Amen. It is pricey. I was talking to a man Friday night, in fact, and he said, preacher, I want you to pray for my son. I believe he told me he was 37 years old. And he said, preacher, he's lost it all. He said he had a family, a wife and kids, and said he got to fooling with drugs and alcohol and that lifestyle. And he lost his wife and he lost his children. Now, you'd think that would be a wake-up call. But he said, preacher, I just went over to his house, a house that is 3 years old. Probably still should have the smell of new. 3 years old house. He said, I went into it, preacher, and he said there was nothing. There was nothing but a few pictures of his children spread around on the floor. He said even the carpet has been took up where he had took everything in his house including the carpet, and pawned it and sold it just to get another pill, just to get another high, just to get another drink. Hey, does that sound like a pleasurable? Does that sound, do you think the devil told him that in his initial experience of drugs? Do you think the devil told him that this is going to be the result, that this is going to be the outcome? No, he said this is going to be pleasurable for you. This is going to be what you really need to get through life. And here he is, 37, throwed away everything that was worth anything. For what? For nothing. That is a life of sin. It will give you, it will promise you, listen, it will promise you everything, but it will give you nothing. Amen. Oh, that's exactly right. Amen. I was speaking to another person right here in town just a few weeks ago, and he was telling me about a young man, and I know the young man he's talking about. And he said the young man told him, and I don't know how he had access, but he got access to a lot of painkillers and a lot of pain pills. I didn't get all them details. I'm not interested. But he got access to a lot, and he tells this individual who is a great Christian, godly man. He tells him, I'm going to start selling these things. And you know what that person told him? The Christian told him, you will never prosper at doing that. You will never prosper. And Brother Bob, this young man started selling those pills, and he started making as high as $8,000 a month and has nothing to show for it. Are you listening? God help us. I'm talking about it being pricey. You won't like the bill when it comes. You won't like it. You wish somebody else would pay it. But oh, listen, the far country is pricey. The far country is painful. It may start out pleasurable, but it ends up painful. And then here's something else we covered back when we were dealing with this. There's basically two reasons why, or two purposes why I believe that God was having us to deal with this prodigal message and has now brought it back to us. And if you know me, you know a lot of times when I get away from something, I very seldom ever go back to it. God is bringing us back to this for a purpose. Somebody is in trouble. Somebody is in trouble. But the two purposes why I believe God had birthed this in our heart was one for a caution. God wants us to send out a caution to say to you, you do not have to go to the far country. There is a greater option, and it's called the Father's house. A caution. God is sending such a warning today. The second reason I believe God birthed this in our heart was for the purpose of a cure. Maybe you have already been there. Maybe you are there. Maybe you're thinking about going there. And God is sending the message as a caution, but also as a cure, to let you know that failures are not final. Thank God for that, amen. Let you know that failures are not final. And by the way, the greatest cure is what? A prevention. What is that old saying? An ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. It's better to stay out of the ditch than to try to get out of the ditch. It'd been easier for this young man to have stayed away from the far country, stayed away from that lifestyle, than it was for him to get out of it. Amen. So there is the purpose of a prevention and of a cure. Boy, I'm glad God is able to forgive, and we'll deal with that later on. We'll deal with that later on. Let's look in verse number 12, and this was the points that we brought out in the outline. Number one, we talked about the far country and this young man. Number one, it started out with a selfish request. Verse number 12. What did he say? Look at it with me. And the younger of them said to his father, give me. Oh, when those two words right there starts working in your life. When those two words right there gets big in your life. When me gets big, you're in trouble. Because if you'll note this in your Bible, friend, make a note of it, that selfishness and sinfulness always goes together. If the devil can get you selfish, he can and probably already has got you sinful. Yes, sir, his selfish request, give me. An independent spirit that always is a prelude to the far country. When kids has got an independent spirit about them to where they won't listen to parents or authority or preachers or someone trying to help them, amen. That is a selfish, independent spirit that will lead them to the far country. Are you listening? He said, give me. Now, I didn't notice this a while ago while the choir sang, and I just was looking at this verse, and I saw it, and I said, oh, my goodness. The Bible said in verse 12, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I want what belongs to me. I want my rights filled. I want my attention. I want what I deserve. But I seen this right here in verse 12. And you make a note of it. He asked his father, give me the portion of what? Say it again, Brother Chuck. Goods. Never seen that till a while ago. Was there any goods in the far country? You ever seen that, brother? The Bible said in the Word of God that every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Oh, if you're looking for goods, if you're looking for the good life, if you're looking for, amen, good character and good choices, it's going to be at the Father's house. How many people have took the goods that God has given to them and went to the far country with it and lost it all? The far country, I want to say it and I want it to go out this morning, the far country has never, can never, and will never be good to you. The far country, you will experience famine, you will experience hardship, it will strip you of everything that is good. It will. So we talked about the selfish request. And then number two, we talked about the sinful route. The Bible says that he took his journey. He took his journey. Wasn't the Father's journey, wasn't the Father's will. He took his journey. Where? Verse number 15 or 13, into a far country. And I felt, listen, church, I felt pretty strong this morning while I was getting ready that the Lord spoke to my heart. If we're not careful, we will think to be in a far country means you're out of church, out yonder on a bar stool. But I want to tell you, you can be in a far country sitting on a church pew. And to be truthful, I think a lot of people in church are living a far country life. They're having far country thoughts. They've got far country desires. Amen. They run around with far country friends they wonder why church is boring to them. There's the sinful route that's involved. Amen. And then number three, we notice the stripping ruin that I see here in verse number 13. The stripping ruin. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted. They there, meaning in the far country, there wasted. Wasted what? The goods that the Father had blessed him with. The goods. Amen? Now watch this right here. The Bible said he wasted. They're wasted. He wasn't wasting anything at the Father's house. That isn't the place of waste. Well, the devil will tell you that it is. The devil will tell you that if you live for God, that's a waste. If you go to church, that's a waste. If you give to God tithes and offerings and faith promise missions, that is a waste. He'll tell you that. Oh, no. Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. He said, preacher, why'd you quote that verse? I'm telling you, if righteousness can exalt a nation, what will it do for an individual? Amen. Amen. That's right. The Bible said also that he spent all. He spent all. He wasted, and the Bible said he spent all in verse 14. I'm talking about the stripping ruin. He went there with everything and came out with nothing. Naomi said to her husband, Abimelech, listen, there's a famine here in Bethlehem. Let's go to Moab. And I believe from the text there in Ruth, I believe she's the one that influenced that family move. That's why God pinpointed his dealings with her. Amen. Because she said when she did come back, don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant one. Call me Mara, which means bitterly. For God hath dealt bitterly with me, she said. She may have been one of them nagging wives. Say amen right there. I said one of them. They're not all that way. Come on, ladies. Say amen right there. But she might have put the pressure on him. There's a famine in the land. Honey, you're going to have to start taking better care of me. I need a better Rolex watch, amen. I need a better car. I need a bigger this, and I need a bigger that. And I hear that we can go to Moab, and there's plenty going on down there. And we all know that Moab is God's wash pot. Moab was a rejected place. Moab come out of the incest with Lot and his daughters. God said he would never have anything to do with them. And I'm going to tell you where they chose to go was the world. They went to Moab, a type of the world, a type of the far country, and as a result of that, guess what? They lost everything. She buried her husband there. She buried both of her sons there and left one of her daughter-in-laws there, which probably no doubt ended up dying there. She came out herself and Ruth came out with her. But there was a high price to pay, buddy, for getting away from God. Bethlehem's a type of the will of God. Hey, amen. And they got out of it because there was a little famine. Folk, listen, you need to get this in your heart as saved people. There will be famines in your lives spiritually. You can be in the middle of the will of God and still experience some famines, some storms, some battles, some burdens. I never have told anybody that if you get saved, everything will be smooth and everything will be fine. I've never told nobody that. No, I'll be truthful with you. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Amen. The stripping ruin. The far country life is a very expensive and costly life. Amen? God help us. So we talked about the stripping ruin. Listen to this right here. When he left the Father's house, he probably felt like, I don't have it all. I don't have enough. That's why he wanted to go to the far country. But when he got to the far country, he realized that when he was at the Father's house, he did have it all. Naomi, that other illustration I gave you, you know what her testimony was? She said, I went out full. Now, when she went out, she wasn't looking that way. She wasn't talking that way. In a famine, hey, we're losing. We don't have nothing. Let's go to Moab. Type of the world, the far country. But when she come home, she said, I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Well, the devil can get you dissatisfied. If the devil can get you thinking, you know, I don't have enough and I'm not being all that I can be at RBT, you know what? He can talk you into moving on. He can talk you into moving on. Amen. And so it was with the prodigal. He lost everything. And there's a lot that we could say about that. But I want to deal with verse 15, which was point number 4. There is a social reliance. And the Bible said, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You know what that's telling me? He began to become attached to people in the far country. He began to depend upon what far country people could do for him, what far country habits could give to him. Are you listening? The social reliance. If you go to the far country, it won't be long till you'll find out where the citizens of that land are, and you'll start looking like them. You'll start dressing like them. You'll start talking like them. And you'll even share in their works and in their deeds. And you'll share in their judgment if you remain there. Amen. Oh, God help us. The social reliance. And we covered that basically in our last time I was here. But I want to hurry on and deal with this particular point in verse 17. The Bible says, well, let me read verse 16, because I want to say one thing about that and then move into verse 17. And the Bible said he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And I don't know if you remember when we dealt with that back in the messages or not, but if you remember that when he was at the Father's house, the husk would have been something that would have been detestable. He would have never thought about eating the husk at the Father's house. But now he's in the far country, and now his appetite has got to the place to where he's starting to desire what once would be detestable. What one time was appalling at the Father's house is now appealing in the far country. See, that's the thing. If you go get away from God, get out of church, and your life, you're living in sin. Listen, you're living in sin. You know what happens? You will have an appetite for that. That's why it's hard to ever win somebody out of the far country. They have an appetite for it. They love what's put on the table. Their flesh loves the far country. Your flesh is a far country nature. Amen? But verse number 17, and when. I took and underscored that word, when. And when he came to himself. Now listen, verse number 11 down through verse 16, it's been negative. Verse 11 through verse 16 has been a decline. It has not been anything good. Amen. But now the story is getting ready to take a turn. Praise God. The story is taking a turn. God is ending that negative chapter, that chapter of sin, and now he is bringing about the chapter, praise God, of his sonship. He's doing away with the chapter, or listen, he's not doing away with it, it's still recorded. It is a fact. But he's moving now from the chapters of ruin. Now, we're going into a chapter of restoration. And I want to talk this morning first here at number 5 on the stirring realization. Verse 17, and the stirring realization. And when he came to himself, he, listen, began to realize what was real. Oh, that's good.
For the first time, Brother Mark, he knows the far country is not real. All of the promises of the far country were lies. All of the anticipations that when he left the Father's house and pursued the life of sin, that he thought, man, I'm going to have this and I'm going to be this and I'm going to do this. But found out that none of his aspirations came to pass. None of them. None of his expectations, Brother Tom, came to pass. When he left the Father's house, he never expected to come to the place where he'd lost it all. When he left the Father's house and his pockets were bulging with the blessings of his Father, he didn't realize and didn't even think that one day I'll be on the bottom. No, friend. Here's a stirring realization. He realized now that what was really good, what was really a blessing, is at the Father's house. Anything that's worth anything is at the Father's house. It's in the will of God. Oh, yes. As a lost person, I thought those thoughts. I thought that. When I was lost, Brother Matt, I thought as a sinner, if I can just get here and go there and do this and do that and run with this crowd, that man, I'd have it. But the further I went, there was a point I came to. God brought me to that point where it was a reality to me that the life of sin is bankruptcy. The life of sin is a lie. Amen. The life of sin is not a blessing. We put it on our sign. Brother Silas, I don't know if it's still up there. Sin is not your friend. Did you know, and I mean, I've already gave you an illustration that we all know if I told his name. He's looking at the very drugs and alcohol that ruined and destroyed his family, took his wife, took his children away. And my friend, all he's got, he don't even have his own place to live. Cannot even hold a job down. The very thing, Miss Stacy, that's destroyed everything. He's gripping it and embracing it and saying, and he told his daddy, this is my only friend. I wouldn't hardly call a friend somebody that would destroy my family. Brother Tim, I wouldn't call something or someone a friend that would take my kids away and to take my wife away and take my home away and destroy anything that's worth anything. That's not a friend. That's a foe. Amen. Listen, come on now. When you're living a life of sin and it's throwing you on the bottom and stomping everything out of you that's worth anything, my friend, that's not just circumstances. That is the consequences of sin. Amen. I challenge you, if you're here today and you're living in sin, living for sin, amen, you can't break free from that on your own. Because you love it too much. And sin and your fleshly nature has got such a hook up together, Brother Klepper, that people, and you know people and I know people, that they are hugging the very things, embracing the very things that's destroying them. Why? Because their nature loves it. Even though it's killing them. Amen. Have you ever seen, amen, I was talking to a preacher this week. Actually, he was the moderator of that camp meeting. And he was telling me about a young man that he knew personally that at one time was a strong-bodied man and had a good life. Said he weighed about 230-something pounds, just 6-foot-something, just beefed up, you know, a big man. and said he got to fooling with drugs and meth and Oxycontin and things like that. And he said, "Preacher, today he is nothing but skin and bones," and said he may possibly weigh 150 pounds. But he can't wait, Brother Bob, to get another pill. He can't wait to get another high. Don't you think, friend, for a second, sin does not have a bondage with it. That sin does not have a grip with it. That sin is not attractive. You better be careful that you don't fall in love with the very thing that'll kill you. A lot of people, it's hard to win to God. You can't hardly get them saved. Why? Because they love sin and will not detach themselves from it. Are you listening? But I'm glad I've got good news for you. Detaching yourself from sin is not a process of reformation. Thank God you get saved by the grace of God. The truth shall make you free. Amen. That's right. But there's a stirring realization, and he came to himself. This was the turning and pivot point of the whole story. It's amazing, I wrote down, it's amazing how eye-opening and sobering the bottom will be. But I got good news for you, and I want you to listen to the preacher in a second here. If you're lost without God, you do not have to hit bottom before you turn. You don't have to. Brother Mark, did you know that this young man in our text, when he left the father's house, he had all of his inheritance. He could have thought right then, you know, I probably shouldn't go to this far country. I probably ought to stay here. He didn't have to go. He didn't have to go. He didn't have to stay till he hit bottom, but he did. He couldn't get any further down than where he was, barefooted, starving, and in the hog pen. Couldn't get no further down. Couldn't be more disgraceful. But he didn't have to go that far. You don't have to go that far. You don't have to hit bottom morally. You don't have to be a disgrace to your family before you can get saved or get right with God. Don't go that far. Turn. Turn today. Take the truth at face value that the path of sin leads to a dead end and to destruction. And you know, I can preach this, and every preacher around can preach this till they die of old age, and there still will be young people that will choose the path of sin. There still will be husbands that'll gamble away their money, amen, and their family starve, and their family do without. They will not listen. I can't help you if you won't listen. God cannot even help you if you won't listen. But there is the stirring realization. He came to realize my choices are not good. My ways are not right. I need to get right about this thing. And the first step was to get honest. Amen. As long as you're blaming your condition on somebody else or on something else, you will not get help. But when you get honest and you realize and confess, I'm in the shape I'm in because I chose it. I made the choices. Get honest and get humble. He got humble, buddy. He got broken. He said, I'm going to rise. Amen. He got to thinking about the hired servants at his father's house in verse 17. Had more to eat than he did. He's eating hog food. He's coveting hog food. He's desiring the scraps. Amen. And he said, my father has hired servants that's got more than I do. You know what I wrote right there in the flyleaf of my Bible? The father had hired servants. That is, they were getting paid for their services. But the prodigal in the far country, show me where he ever got paid. He served. He went, amen. He was an employee. The citizen of that land, that country, sent him into his fields to feed the swine. But show me where he ever got a paycheck. Couldn't have been having much. He was desiring to eat what the hogs was eating. Are you listening? God help us. The far country does not give, it takes. He said in verse number 14, I perish with hunger. In verse 17, he said, I perish with hunger. I'm talking about a stirring realization. He said, I perish with hunger. Did you know the punctuation right there? You still got your Bible open. Did you see the punctuation right there? What is it? What is that punctuation? An exclamation mark. Meaning that he is saying this with great emotion and with great feeling and with great intensity. When he came to himself and he realized that how good even the servants have got it at the Father's house. He was saying it with great emotion. He said, I perish with hunger. By the way, the word hunger there in verse number 17 comes from the exact same word that the word famine comes from in verse 14. He said, there's a famine in the land. Verse number 17, he said, I'm hungry. I'm perishing with hunger. Same word, Brother Tom, that translated famine, that translated hunger. You say, what do you see in that, preacher? That which was around him has now got in him. The famine on the outside had now become a famine on the inside. The hunger on the outside had now become the hunger on the inside. The hunger in the country, oh amen, has now become the hunger on the inside. You know what one of the miseries is? And I'm going to let you go here in a minute. You know what one of the great miseries of the far country is? A life of sin. Living away from God, out of the will of God. Hey, one of the great miseries of that is? You're having desires that are not being met. You've got wants that are not being met. You've got hunger that's not being satisfied. Amen. Oh yes, the Bible said that hell and destruction are never full, so neither the eyes of man are never satisfied. That's what'll ruin you. That's what'll ruin me. That's what'll ruin anybody that fools with sin. Is that you will have desires, you will have ambitions, you will have appetites, you will have wants that, my friend, the world cannot satisfy. I want it to be on record today that the world cannot satisfy you, no matter how much of it you have. The world does not have the ability to satisfy you. Only God can satisfy you. Only God can satisfy you. Amen. So what was around him is now God in him. He said, I perish. That don't sound like pleasure to me. He said, I perish. That word perish means to destroy fully. Let me give you this right here. Everybody listening? I'm going to stop right here in a second. I want you to listen to this. The word perish is in the middle voice. So what does that mean? I'm going to tell you. The middle voice is used when the subject is performing an action upon himself. In other words, to say it more plain, he could actually say, I have done this to myself. My father didn't do it. My family didn't do it. I did this to myself. I'm hungry. I did it to myself. I've wasted everything. I did it to myself. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Sin cannot make you. Sin cannot force you. Sin must have your consent so that the end result is you'll have to testify, I've done it. I did it to myself. I destroyed my own self. Amen. And by the way, the word perish means to destroy fully. Sin doesn't want to hurt you. Sin wants to destroy you fully. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that God has sent this message to someone this morning to rescue you from the far country. Or to prevent you from going to the far country. I've spent my life or at this, you know, I talk about spending all my life. I hope I've not spent all my life. To this point, I've spent 31 and a half years, soon to be 32 years, Miss Paula Sue, trying to warn people about sin. Trying to warn people about sin. Trying to warn young people about sin. And you know what? I could give you one right after another that is said in this church, that is said in back, I mean, listen, said when I used to teach downstairs Sunday school class, when they'd sit in my class, sit right here and hear preaching, and went right opposite to everything that I preached to them, and went out and did things that I preached against. If I wasn't doing this for Jesus, I would have been overwhelmed with discouragement a long time ago and said, what's the use? Who cares? You know? But I'm doing this for Jesus. Mainly and foremost, I'm preaching for Jesus. Whether anybody ever gets help, whether anybody ever gets right, I'm going to stay focused that I'm preaching for Him. And leave the results to Him. But Brother Craig, it's very likely that there's somebody sitting right here this morning that has again been brought made aware of the prodigal son. Make light of it. Make light that God has brought this back around from July to today. Brought it back around in here again. And you'll make light of that, and you'll go right on and make choices. Make choices. That's far country choices. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad that young people, listen, here's preaching that should prevent the far country. You know what this should do? You know what it should do to you? It should cause you to run just as fast as you can run away from the far country. It should make you want to get in the altar here in a few minutes and say, oh God, I never want to go to the far country in my mind. I don't ever want to go to the far country in my morals. I don't want to ever take the trip. I don't want to ever come back and say, I'm sorry, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against the church. I believe there's a lot of people, ladies and gentlemen, I was thinking about this morning. I believe there's a lot of people that they need to get right with God. But they also need to get right with the church. When you become a member of the church, friend, you come into a covenant relationship with us. There's things that you and I both agree that we're going to do and not do. Amen. The life we're going to live. I believe a lot of people need to get right with the church. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against my membership. Amen. I've sinned against my covenant, what I said that I would be and what I said that I would do. Stirring realization. I want us all to stand to our feet. We'll just stop right there.